Hi guys, welcome to First Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Ujjwal Singh and joining me today on this episode is India's badminton legend, Jwala Gutta. The greatest doubles player to come out of India, Jwala won silver at the 2009 Super Series Masters Finals and a bronze at the 2011 World Championship. She also won the gold at the 2010 Commonwealth Games. Jwala will dissect the nuances of doubles badminton for us. I will just start with very start of your career and like when you started to make so if you don't mind, can you like talk about, let's say, when did you start, let's say, getting into badminton? And because I was doing a research over you and I saw that you were more interested in tennis, but you were introduced also very early to badminton. So how did it go for you?
No, it wasn't that I was interested in tennis. I was exposed to all sports. That's okay. What I meant.
Okay.
I started off with tennis. I played table tennis.
Okay.
I played made a little bit in my school.
Okay.
I play good volleyball also.
Okay.
So, but the thing is, you know, my mom was, a little skeptical of me playing any outdoor sport.
Okay.
So she said, why don't you try badminton?
Yeah.
And that's when I was introduced to badminton also.
Okay.
And and then the first coach, my only coach, Arif sir,
yeah.
I went to him and he said I was too young to, mm-hmm. Play badminton. And he said, why don't you put her in gymnastics and swimming.
Okay.
And, come back to me after 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So that's what we did. You know, went to, I did gymnastics and swimming and went back to Arister in 94.
Okay. So, at what age did you go back to RF, sir? And if you can expand to when you started training, when was it that you felt that I should take the sport professionally? Or is it that from the beginning only you always wanted to take it professionally? How was it?
I never took it up as a hobby ever.
Okay.
It was always going to be a profession. It was very clear from my father.
Okay.
That's what I was exposed to since the age of 4. I was exposed to sports so much so that it was just understood that I'm going to take this as profession.
Okay.
And from the beginning, I was very professional. I used to take my own water bottle.
Okay.
You know, very few people were doing that at that time.
Hmm.
Still, even now I see a lot of my juniors, they don't bring their own water bottles. And I'm like, see, when you are getting into profession, you have to do this. You have to have your own towels. You have to have your own, I used to have the whole kit with me.
Yeah.
You know, so I went back to Arister in 93, 94.
Okay.
I went back to him.
Okay. So, how did you come to, let's say, playing doubles, or was it that you were in singles first and later moved on to doubles, or was it that doubles appealed more to you or you liked it more, let's say, how did it work for you?
I was a great singles player, actually. In fact, I was a national champion, junior national champion in singles and doubles, and then I was number 2 ranked in women's singles, because I was the only one who beat Aparna Popat at that time when she was in her peak, she was unbeaten for 6-7 years, I think.
Hmm.
And I was the only one who beat her, The thing is, what happened in 2000, if you see, I had a lot of seniors who were already established singles players, like, you know, Aparna, Manjusha, I don't know if you know these names, Madhumita Bist, obviously, they were, she shifted to doubles, Madhumita Bist, But we had a lot of players, Archana Deo, the Trivevi Lakshmi, Lakshmi's sister Sharada.
Yeah.
Then my contemporaries immediate were Parul, Divya Ramesh, so many Maharashtrian players, so many West Bengal players.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of single players. But I started playing for the country in 1999. Okay. Then I came to Thomas Cuba Cup in 2000, in the year 2000. What my observation was that there were already a lot of singles players then.
Okay.
And when it came to doubles, it was like, okay, two retired singles players are playing doubles. What I saw outside, when I saw the other countries, they always had doubles players separate.
Yeah.
And singles players separate.
Yeah.
They were taking it more professional. So I was always wondering, like, why aren't we even trying? You know, we are just giving up before we try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just 16 or 17. That's when I was also a national champion in women doubles.
Yeah.
Rajiv Siddiq had come to India.
Okay.
And Rajiv Siddiq, I don't know if you know, he's a great. Doubles player. He's won everything.
Yeah.
He's a legend, and he came down for I think month and a half doubles camp.
Yeah.
And Arif sir was the chief coach.
Okay.
So he said, "Voila, now that you're a doubles national champion, you have to go."
Yeah.
Then I said, "Sir, if I go to doubles camp, I will only play doubles. I'm also singles. You know, I don't want to miss out on singles."
Yeah.
He said, "No, but you're a doubles champion, you have to go." So I said, "Okay," I went, I played against him.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
I played against him, I played with him, and then he saw that, you know, I was playing really well and I was understanding the game of doubles, which many of the Indians did not understand.
Yeah.
And I was able to compete with boys also.
Yeah.
And I was a very hard hitter, you know. So everything was working out. And then he was like, "Zala, you're playing really well." And, you know, so that was one of the incident where I was like, okay, you know, I think I can take doubles seriously.
Yeah.
And not just wait for myself to, you know, retire from singles.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of questions, you know, put to me that, "Are you sure you are calling your career?" I said, "See, nobody has ever ventured in this line, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody has taken the double seriously.
Yeah.
It was always like two single players retired, they'll play doubles in our country.
Yeah.
Only men doubles was a little competitive, you know, Kerala players and, you know, I think one Punjab player, and, you know, only men doubles.
Yeah.
But women was really lousy.
Yeah.
So then that's when I decided, "Sir, okay, I will take this." And I took it up as a challenge more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, and every time it had become a habit by then that every time when people said, "Vala, you cannot do this, it will not work for you."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Let me show you how it works."
Yeah.
And that's what I always did, and I kind of proved a lot of my detractors wrong, saying that, you know, we can have, you know, good doubles if we give them proper guidance, that is, you know. So that's when I took it up.
Yeah.
I took doubles seriously since I think 2000, 2001.
Yeah. Okay. It is for everyone to see. I mean, you have proven almost everybody wrong, and the record speaks for itself. I'm just trying to ask, is that here there was an extra motivation for you. But as you said, at international level, we have seen that there are professional doubles players and then there are professional singles players. Like, they don't really mix that much, and they play their...
No, because technically it's completely different.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People don't understand this.
Yeah.
That tennis doubles players play singles players play doubles.
Yeah.
But when it comes to badminton, a doubles player cannot play singles.
Yeah.
Because technically it is very different. The footwork is different. The strokes are different.
Yeah.
You know, and the singles players...
Yeah.
They might be world champions, but they cannot play doubles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it is completely different, which we have failed to educate our public about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why they don't take our doubles seriously, because they think, oh, doubles is, you know, badminton doubles is for lazy people.
Yeah.
If you're lazy, you take up. But they're not understanding the speed of the shuttle is double.
Yeah.
And it's faster and it's quicker in doubles.
Yeah, definitely.
The reflexes, you need to be quicker in doubles.
Extremely attacking.
It's always constantly attacking. It's fast.
Yeah.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
You know. And when singles players have tried playing doubles, their defense really collapses because it comes really quick to them in doubles.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So there's a vast difference which many people fail to understand.
True. What I was going to ask is that, let's say if you are a budding badminton player and if you are, let's say, at a very early stage where you have to make a decision whether I should go into singles or whether I should go into doubles, how do you think an athlete can assess his or her potential in a way that he makes or her, she makes the right choice, whether a doubles or singles? What do you think are the important aspects and what should they look for if they are picking doubles, let's say, over singles?
See, if you're picking up doubles saying that it is easier, they're completely wrong.
Yeah.
Doubles is much more tougher internationally.
Definitely.
If you see, Japan is fielding four pairs, China is fielding four pairs, Denmark is fielding two, three pairs.
Yeah.
Every country is fielding three, four pairs except India. India is fielding only one pair. We're always depending upon one pair. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So internationally, it is very tough. You have to be fit. You have to be super fit for playing doubles.
Yeah.
It is not an easy task to play competitive doubles internationally.
Yeah.
And it really depends on, you know, on players. Because players, what I observe now, even my juniors, when I see them play today,
yeah,
I see most of them don't understand the concept of doubles.
Okay.
They are wrong tactically.
Okay.
Even the skill is not enough.
Yeah.
The strength is not enough.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely we have a doubles, exclusive doubles coach.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
Which is very sad. Because there is no other Indian coach who understands doubles and who's teaching them doubles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So there is no guidance,
yeah,
and that's the problem. So many people, that's why, are also inclined towards singles, because singles are getting all the attention and doubles are not.
Yeah.
So if a junior has to take up doubles, they also have to understand the pressures and what they will not get also easily.
Yeah.
You know, I took it up as challenge, and I think even my family was, you know, supporting me.
Yeah.
But this will be doubles in our country to take it up, you know, seriously or professionally.
Yeah.
It is going to be challenging. So you have to be ready.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah. I was going to, I mean, as a follow-up to that one, when you pick doubles, let's say, and then in doubles, you have still some differentiation. Let's say you have mixed doubles, and then you have women's doubles and men's doubles. You have done equally good, let's say, in both of them. I mean, we know your partnership with Diju, and then again, obviously, in the doubles also. But it's also a case that a lot of international level, we have seen that people stick to the single one because maybe it's not really easy to do, let's say, mixed also, and either for a women's double or men's doubles. What's your opinion on that? Should a doubles player be just sticking to, let's say, a women's doubles and not going into mixed doubles, or can it be balanced? What do you think are the challenges if you do try to balance these things?
See me, you know, why I was able to play was I was fit. I was really fit to play two events.
Okay.
Although many people have questioned my fitness.
Yeah.
But just because of the way my body is, okay,
yeah.
They did not understand that if I'm not fit, I wouldn't have survived so many matches and so many years. But anyways, you have if you want to play two events at international level, you have to be super super fit. Okay, there is no compromise on that. Plus, I was also a very clever player. You know, I was not. I was just not. What do you say? Aggressive or strong? You know, I was also very clever. I knew the tactical. Points of doubles. I knew if I played a shot at a particular corner, I knew where to expect the next shot from my opponent. I was very clever. I was very aware of what was happening around me. So if you, the player who can, and it is not easy for a player to switch from mixed doubles suddenly and then next match you have to play doubles. It becomes a little tricky, but you have to be aware. Mentally, how present they are is also very important. And I was mentally very present. You know, I never, you know, when I got onto the court, whenever my partner was, whether it was Diju or Shruti or Ashwin, I knew why I was there and what I had to do. I was very aware of my surroundings.
So, as you said that you were very aware of your surroundings and to to pick the right shots at times and all that. So, getting a little more deeper into doubles, the thing is that one common demand by any doubles coach would, as we have seen, is that probably to pick the right shots, because double game is so quick. And it's let's say you don't really get a chance to come back. I mean, in a rally and all that. So they constantly say that please choose the right shots and all. But what I'm trying to ask here is that considering that there are four people on a court, I mean two versus two, what are those right shots? I mean, what would you say are right shots for a doubles?
See, I right now in an interview, I probably cannot tell you the right shot. But the thing is, I practiced my skills for hours and hours. You won't believe. I, when everybody, my whole, so we used to be like 20, 30 people, boys and girls, training together. After we all finished our training, I used to stay back and work on my skill for another hour and a half. This nobody knows that. So I was so, I'm so sound in my skill. I'm so sound in my skill that I can shut my eyes and I can still play where I want to. I was so accurate, you know, I could play 200 shots without any mistake. So I worked on it. So so whenever I was in a tournament, my skill is so strong that I could play anywhere I wanted to. You know what I'm saying? So you have to first, whether it's a singles player or doubles, in your initial, your foundation has to be so strong because the game is evolving every 5 years. If you see, the game is becoming faster, you know, trickier. Sometimes there is no skill and there is just, you know, aggression and, you know, speed. And then suddenly you will come across a player who is skillful and you don't know what, you know, a deceptive player. So your skills have to be so strong because, and me, I really worked hard, you know. I used to go to school 1 hour late. I was, everybody used to leave and I used to just, me and my coach, Arista, we used to just keep playing, practice hours together on, only on one simple shot. That's why I became, my skill was really strong. That was also my plus point. That's why that's why I was, I never had a pressure about my skill. I just had to worry how to displace my opponent.
You're talking a bit more about the doubles only. I mean, it's an, badminton is an individual sport, but doubles is where you are like a team, let's say. So, because you are not alone, you are with your partner. So, what is your opinion on how should one go about choosing a partner? There is this school of thought. Some people say that coaches should make a pair. There is a school of thought which says that athletes should choose their own partner. What is your opinion on it, and what do you think is the pros and cons of what do you think is the...
No, the thing in our country, you know, we take up sports with our individual choice. You know, the government is not going and scouting, or association is not scouting, or the coaches are not scouting. There's no scouting business in our country. We become national champion with our own interest. To become a national champion itself is a very tough job in our country, which people are not realizing it. But see, doubles in our country, first of all, there is a very bad attitude towards doubles, you know. So now when I had to choose Diju or Ashwini, you know, I chose Ashwini. So when I chose Ashwini, she was my junior. Everybody, you know, even today, if I want to play, many people would want to come and play with me. So everybody wanted to play with me. But I chose Ashwini also because I spoke to her, you know, and, you know, I asked her what her aims were. So we kind of had similar aims, you know, and you need to have similar dreams. You cannot be like, one can be, you know, lethargic and one is very excited and, you know, let's go and do it. That you cannot keep pulling one partner, you know, one partner cannot be under stress all the time. So both of us were thinking the same thing, same with Diju also, you know. Diju also believed in his skill also is very good. So he also believed in his skill. Now, why coaches cannot choose a partner, first of all, in our country, first of all, there is no doubles coach in our country. There are coaches who think they know doubles, but they don't. And if you really want to choose a partner for another player, being a coach, the coach has to also treat them, you know, uplift them as what. That is not happening for doubles in our country. So I don't know why then suddenly coach come and interfere when they are not promoting you enough. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I put it properly.
No, I got it. I mean, considering they are not there from the beginning, it is difficult to have...
They are not there from the beginning.
Difficult to have any intervention later.
My coach, Arif sir, now if Arif sir tells me, Jwala, no, this person is not good for you, or this person is good for you, I will listen to him because he's seen me from the beginning. You know, he would know my game and he would know my mindset. See, both doubles, even your mind should work together. If you hate each other and you are irritated with each other, you can't go on long. Then you're wasting your time, right? So all that, everything has to match. You know, everything has to match. And even the coach has to be, you know, as involved. If coach is involved, then 100% coach can choose a partner for a player. But coach, when coach is not as involved, you know, and imagine I have a coach for namesake and me and my partner are doing well. We're going ahead, we're winning one tournament after another, but there's no acknowledgement from a coach. You know, that also doesn't help. And that is what is happening today. That's why we don't have any doubles players.
That's right. So talking about the partnerships, as you said, there is a certain amount of tuning that is obviously required in between doubles partners. That's what makes them click. You had successful partnerships.
You have to be friends.
You
have to be friends.
So you had successful partnerships with the names that you have taken so far, Shruti, Diju or Ashwini. What I'm trying to understand here is that when you have decided to pair up with someone, so what do doubles partners, badminton doubles partners, they do to improve their understanding on and off the field? What are the kind of things that you do, whether it could be like just playing such certain sort of drills or playing some certain matches or off the field? I mean, can you shed some light on that?
No, off court also you need to have a relationship. You cannot just be a partner on court. Off court also, you know, you need to have that kind of a relationship. So we used to go eat together, you know, go shop together, and walk together. We used to discuss, we used to speak together or speak to each other, you know, off court, ki, tomorrow we're going to play a certain pair. How is it? If you're not friends, if you're not good friends, then you wouldn't want to, you know, but sometimes you need to give space also, you know, you need to give that kind of a time also to your partner to, you know, sometimes if you lose a match and then I'm okay and my partner's not okay. So you need to give time also so that partner to recover from that loss.
Yeah.
And you need to be a friend. You cannot do, otherwise it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot have, because both of you need to, if one wins, the other one also wins.
Yeah.
You need to understand both of you have to go together. You cannot have a rivalry against each other, you know. And that's what I did with all my partners.
Yeah. That considering the front court and the back court, I mean, can you kind of explain the different sort of skills that are required to be like excel in the front court and then for different skills that are required to excel at the back court in doubles?
See, back court, you need to have good smashes. You need to have good tosses.
Yeah.
You need to have good, you know, good sense of, see, always hitting hard is not important.
Yeah.
Where you're hitting is very important.
Yeah.
So that also Ashwini learned very, like, you know, initially she didn't know, you know, so I had to stand with her after every practice, everybody finished practice, I used to stand with her and, you know, practice each and every stroke, which she didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? So, front, but the basic thing what a doubles player needs, a good doubles player needs, is a good serve.
Yeah.
And has to be a good receiver.
Okay. Yeah.
That's very important.
Okay. Yeah.
And mainly what a doubles player needs is drive. They need to know how to drive the shuttle.
Yeah. So the positioning, let's talk about the doubles player players when both of them are on the court and their positioning. It obviously differs when you are attacking and when you are defending. So can we talk about how they position themselves when they are attacking and how they position themselves when they are defending and how it changes?
Sorry?
So how doubles players, they position themselves on the court while attacking and while defending? Because it's
Have you seen the clock, the hand?
Yeah, yeah.
The hour hand and the minute hand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how they keep rotating, you know, and they cover the whole clock, if you see.
Yeah.
That's how a doubles player would actually move.
Okay.
You know, so that no, there should be no empty space on court.
Okay. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So we have to move in coordination with, if my player is, if my partner is on the left-hand side, I have to be on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
If he's little bit up front, then I have to be little bit behind.
Yeah.
So that, you know, no, there is no empty patch on the court and my opponents are not able to, you know, displace us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to move like the two hands of a clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about service. I mean, in a doubles game, which is obviously much more difficult, let's say, in comparison to singles, because you don't want to give the initiative here at all in doubles, considering how attacking the game is. We have seen that backhand low serve is something that is preferred more by the doubles players. Mm. You were someone who also did a lot of forehand service instead of backhand service. Can you talk about...
I was known for my forehand.
So I was trying to reach to that. That why is that you preferred the forehand service and what is the best sort of service, let's say, for a doubles, and what should one look at in a perfect service for a doubles match?
See, it really, you, how confident, that's what I said, no? How confident you are about your skill is very important. I was very confident about my serve. Many people try to change. They're like, no, you have to make a forehand. How can you serve forehand? If you want to play international, you have to play backhand. I was like, I always wondered, why are you saying this? Because I'm scoring points on my serve.
Yeah.
Why are you saying this? So you have to apply your own brains also, right?
Yeah. Okay. What would you describe as a perfect doubles serve? Whether backhand or forehand, but it depends on the player, obviously, their choice. But what would you...
Perfect serve is when you're able, because if you see the serve, the way we start serving,
yeah,
it's below the waist, right?
Yeah.
It's below the waistline. So basically, you start with a defense of the, the stroke is very, we are defensive. We're already under defense.
Yeah.
So now I play in such a way, the serve, that the opponent is not able to take advantage. It's not coming to offense. You know, if I make a bad serve, they can attack me.
Yeah.
Because my serve starts from below the waist, if you see. Above the waist is a fault serve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The racket head should be below. So that means I start off with a stroke which is defensive.
Yeah.
But if the serve is good,
yeah,
if the serve is good, then your opponent becomes defensive.
Yeah.
And that is a good serve. If your opponent is not able to attack your serve,
yeah,
that is a good serve.
Yeah. So talking about, let's say, strategizing in doubles game and all that, consider you have a match, let's say, tomorrow, and you know the opponents and all that. How do doubles players, they go about strategizing, or what sort of analysis is involved in facing a certain opponent or a pair? Can you talk about that?
How much ever you see of match, you will come to know their style of play, really.
Okay.
But how they will play on that very day, that you cannot really tell it.
Yeah.
You watch the play, you know, I think when you see the matches, you see few points, see unka ye strength hai, you know, ye weaknesses hai.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't work, you know, because sometimes you are not able to really play what you want to.
Yeah.
So I think especially when it comes to doubles, it becomes hard to also take care of my partner. Sometimes the partner is also not, you know, not fully fit to play that day, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends. I really believe in, you know, the present.
Okay.
How to tackle is looking at the style of play also, you come to know, you know, their strength and weaknesses, but you cannot really depend on it completely.
So how is that how is that analysis was done? Let's say, did you watch their past matches, or was there a...
Indians were not so professional before. You know.
Okay.
This is what I say. Professional. This and that. Professional is when, you know, you sit with a sports analyst and you see the matches. Then, you know, you come to know the and all that.
Yeah.
That never happened with me.
Okay.
When I played till maybe it still started really, but it didn't happen really.
So
we were completely on our own.
Just talking about the game itself, I mean, we know that doubles is obviously very attacking, and it's a common demand that the strategy has to be attacking. You have to hit your shots downwards, and you were a pretty attacking player yourself. But what I'm trying to say here is that can you ever be defensive, let's say, and are you ever on the court thought or probably decided to be defensive at a certain point, or a defensive strategy was used, let's say, for does that happen in doubles, and how and when does it happen?
What I was taught by my coach was offense is the best defense. Okay. But obviously, when the reality kicks in, you also need to be really good in your defense.
Yeah.
And again, you know, in my later years after a lot of exposure and a lot of matches, I think after, I think just before London, London Olympics, till, you know, I played, my defense became so good, you know, that nobody was able to break my defense. But I was, but I practiced hours for it.
It
was only practice. You have to practice. So I used to practice with four boys standing in front of me and hitting me, you know.
Yeah.
So defense is very important, you know. Yes, offense is the best defense.
Yeah.
But you need to also keep your defense ready.
So as when a sport has attacking as its motto, and you already mentioned it that obviously you need to be very fit, you need a lot of stamina. So can we talk about what is a fitness regime for a doubles players like? Like what is for a good doubles player, what would your, or what was your fitness regime looked like?
See, my fitness, you know, my base, as I told you, is very strong. You know, RSL believed in fitness. You know, anybody playing RSL's training, they were like, okay, he's RSL's training.
Yeah.
He or she will be very fit. We cannot beat them easily.
Yeah.
And when we were focused a lot on interval training, like, you know, speed endurance. Because Arisar always believed that badminton has speed, plus in speed you need to also have stamina. So speed endurance, we did a lot of explosions.
Yeah,
we did a lot of endurance training. I used to run 11-12 kilometers twice a week.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm.
And then you need a lot of agility.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of agility training. We did a lot of coordination training.
Yeah.
I can keep on going, you know. So for badminton, to play good badminton at the highest level, you have to be as fit as an athlete.
Yeah.
You do 400. You do 800.
Yeah.
You do sprints.
Yeah.
We do everything. Badminton requires a lot of stamina
definitely.
And a lot of fitness.
Yeah, but the fitness regime of a doubles player, does it have any specific difference, let's say, in comparison to a singles player?
We need to do a lot of closes.
Yeah.
I will say that for a doubles player, you need a lot of speed endurance.
Okay.
And you need a lot of explosive training, like a lot of jumps.
Yeah.
A lot of strength. Strength, weight training is very important. So a lot of strength training. I used to lift 140 kilo squats.
Wow.
To do squats, 10 to 12 reps, 5 times.
Okay.
So we used to do heavy weight.
Yeah. It's
really heavy weight.
You could have probably done some other sport also, I think, at the same time with this training.
No, but badminton requires that kind of strength.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
If you see all the boys jumping so high, you know, so that just doesn't come. That means that boy has a lot of strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. There's a lot of work that goes. So as you said, doubles, you need coordination on the court. You need a lot of understanding, mutual understanding between the players and all that. But this fitness regime, does it also go in a coordinated way? I mean, because the thing is that there might be national camps, there might be tournaments. But
so
then
that is on court. Then that is on court training. You know, on court skill.
Okay.
Skill training, you would say. You know, then you have a lot of coordination training with your partner.
Okay.
You have a lot of multi-shuttle, you know. The coach will be throwing shuttles at you and your partner at faster speed. So we have coordination training with partners on court.
On court, okay. But the fitness regime generally... Yeah.
See, it's always good to train with partners even off court. Then, you know, you're competitive.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do better than the other person.
Yeah.
And then you also know that, okay, your partner, you're both working hard.
Yeah. So
that kind of unity
yeah.
would also help.
Yeah. True. So, yeah. What I'm trying to say is that, can we talk about the injuries? So, what are the most common injuries, let's say, for a doubles players, and what do you guys do to like prevent them?
See, I never kind of had any
injury.
But in my observation, I think the doubles players are prone to knee injuries and shoulder injuries.
Hmm.
Because they jump really high and hit really hard.
Yeah.
So I think these two injuries are what they're prone to.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Yeah.
But what they have to do is keep up the strength, do good good weight training, and need to keep their strength intact.
Yeah.
So that they have to train every day.
Yeah. So we spoke a lot about the skills, we spoke a lot about the fitness and all that. I want to touch upon a little on the mental aspect of it. I mean, elite athlete, obviously we know that there is a huge mental aspect attached to a sport, and elite athletes do a lot of work on it. In doubles especially, what kind of role do you think the mental part of the game, mental part plays? For to be a successful athlete, and how does a athlete work on it? What exactly does a good mental space for a doubles athlete means? How do they reach there?
So you have to, I think that goes for any event, you know.
Yeah.
You have to see, you're not only facing two opponents, you also have to coordinate with who's on court.
Yeah.
And if one day he or she is not in a good form, you have to adjust your way. So you have to be really quick.
Yeah.
For double players, mental strength and mental awareness is very important, and it has to be very quick. The mind has to be very quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to be strong mentally. You have to be and you should go on course with open mind.
Okay.
Because anything can happen.
Okay.
Anything can happen. Your partner might not have good form, or you might not have good form.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be, so that's why I always say that, you know, your basics should be so good that even if you are not able to play your best shots, you should be able to fall back on your basics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So base is very important.
Yeah. So when you were playing, or for a professional doubles athlete, elite athlete, what is the trick to stay in a good mental space? Is it some sort of, let's say, meditation do you do? Do you spend time?
See, some people like to do meditation. I never like to do meditation.
Okay.
But I would suggest players to do what they do when they're practicing.
Okay.
So when you're practicing, you are doing things like, you know, you're having fun, you're talking to your friends, or you're watching TV, listening to music.
Yeah.
Do the same thing. Because if you don't want to build any pressure to the tournament, do what you do in practice.
Yeah.
What happens with our athletes, suddenly when they go to tournament, they want to meditate. They don't want to talk to anybody. They're building pressure for themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So do what relaxes you.
Yeah.
And if you can practice, meditation relaxes you. Start doing it in practice also.
Yeah.
And treat practice as a tournament.
Yeah.
That's also very important.
Yeah.
Don't just think that, oh, I'm just practicing today. If I don't give my 100%, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I have tomorrow. So treat every session as important as a tournament.
Yeah.
And do what you life, do what pleases you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be out 24 hours thinking about badminton.
Definitely.
8 hours you think about badminton, that is more than enough, I feel.
That's what I did. Yeah. So taking this a little forward, the thing is that after you reach a certain level in the badminton or in any sport, but because I'm talking with you, we will stick to, let's say, doubles, badminton and all that. You reach a certain level, after that there will always be a level of expectation from an athlete. There will be...
Now, if you're a national champion, also there is a expectation.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the audience is smaller.
Yeah.
You know, all those expectations and pressures, it is, you know... it is going to be there.
You know,
irrespective of what level you play.
Yeah.
If you play state level, obviously your state association and 3-4 players around you, they will know who you are. Your family would expect you to go win national level. You know, and things, so expectations will be there. It is going to be part and parcel of your life.
Definitely.
So some people it will come naturally, some people it will be challenging. You have to be ready, that's it.
So I was going to say is that, so you will have expectations, and as what happens in life, sometimes there are good times, there are bad times, there might be some insecurities also at times. How do an athlete go about it? How do you beat that thing and stay on top of?
That's why you should never take any loss very seriously. Not react as if you,
hold on.
You cannot get depressed.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I say mental awareness is very important. You know, how aware you are. If you lose also, if you're aware of your mistake, you can come back. You know, but it should not be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Even after you win, even the win shouldn't be like, you know, shouldn't be like, oh, okay, I won now, I'm super excited. You know, you should know how to handle your losses, and you should know how to handle your wins also. Because even after win, you have next week, you have another tournament. You know, if you get satisfied and if you relax, then you won't be able to prepare for your next tournament. And being a sports person, every week is going to be a new tournament.
Yeah.
So even if you lose, you should not lose your heart.
Yeah.
You should know that you'll get another chance in the next tournament. You should just learn. Mental awareness, mental steadiness is very important.
Yeah. Last, I would want to talk about the rackets that are used. For a layman, how different are the rackets which are used for singles and doubles? Are they all same or is there a difference? What kind of rackets do doubles players look
for? It really depends on person to person.
Okay.
Everybody used to tell me, Jwala, you're playing doubles now, you need a heavy racket, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I don't like playing with heavy rackets. So my racket is the lightest racket in the world. Okay. My racket only used to weigh only like 70 to 75 grams.
Okay.
That's it. And I was still able to hit really hard. So it really depends on person to person, telling you very frankly how their hand is, what their skill set is.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. For me, I felt that me having a light racket, my reflexes were faster.
Yeah.
And my strokes were sharper.
Yeah.
That's what I felt, you know?
Yeah.
So I still enjoy playing with the light racket.
Yeah.
Mine is the lightest racket in the world. So
I
don't know. I probably did not follow the rules of the world, but you really should do what you are comfortable in. You know, you shouldn't know what, that person is doing this. Now, Jwala said that light racket is the best.
Yeah.
She used light racket, I'll use. No, it really depends on your hand,
you know, your strokes. You should, that's why I say that you should be aware of your physicality, your capability.
Right.
That will only happen if your mind is also, you know, aware and open, basically.
Yeah.
Keep it open, you know. You cannot be tied down to anything.
Yeah. But as you said that people suggested for you to use a heavy racket, although you continued with a lighter racket with great results. Why was it that heavier racket was suggested for you for doubles?
They say that if you have heavy head racket, you hit harder.
Okay. For power.
But I never believed in it. My smashes were pretty hard actually.
Yeah.
At one point, mine was the fastest match.
Yeah.
I think in 2009 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think mine was the fastest match in women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, that's all the questions that I had. And Jwala, thank you very much for all the patience and answering them all.
All right.
So that was Jwala breaking down doubles badminton for us. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.